this over just a little bit. That's that OCD in me. I need for this to be kind of lined up right here. Yeah. That, one of the obstacles I've got to overcome. I want things to be in line. How is everybody tonight? Hey, I thought it didn't get cold in South Florida when I came down here. I think Pastor Norris told me a cold front in South Florida was when you turn off your air conditioner and you open your windows. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to have to turn our heater on for the first time tonight. Anyway, thanks, Pastor Norris, for an opportunity to speak here. And thank you for coming tonight. I am so glad you're here. We're going to be talking the next few weeks about, you know, we could call it a lot of different things. We could call it confronting obstacles in our life. We can call it the dealings of God in our life. We can call it overcoming strongholds. You know, whatever you choose, I chose to call it the dealings of God in our life and the things that He gets in our business about, you know, to change us and mold us and make us, just like the song said, to what He's called us to be. And to what the purposes and plans that He has, not just for our life, but the purposes and plans for our life affect this church. It affects the purposes and plans of this church. So tonight we're gonna start out and I'm gonna just cover some groundwork tonight, I think, and give you some things, the whole reason that God even does this. The reason He causes our lives to be purged. Have you ever been purged? Has God purged you? Hurts, don't it? Man, it's tough looking at yourself. It's tough looking at yourself, but if we don't take the time to do it, we don't grow. And we don't grow and we don't become the image of Jesus, which is the plan and purpose of God for every Christian, is to walk in the image of who Jesus is. I'm going to start out, and I actually had it in my notes, because in my notes I can put it in big letters so I can see it. It's tough getting old. I've got it in the NIV in my notes, but I got out this Bible today, the New Living Translation, and I like the way it reads in here a little bit better. It's a little bit more clear. And I'm going to read in 2 Peter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 1 and read through verse 11. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share... who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. That says it all. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is powerful scripture. That is powerful scripture. It says everything we need to know, what we've got to do in our lives to become more and more like Him. And that's where we're going to start tonight. We're going to be talking about the purging of our lives. We're going to be talking about facing obstacles in our lives, you know, and the reason that we have to be purged, the reason that when we're saved, we just can't stay like we are. We have to change. We have to change. The number one goal for every Christian should be the Philippians, what it says in Philippians 3:10. It says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed into His death. That has got to be our goal every Christian, that is our goal. It's not enough for us to go to church on Sunday. That's not enough. That you know, I went to church for 12 or 13 years. I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday. Every time the door was open, I was in church. But when I left there, I knew nothing about him. I knew about going to church, and I knew you were supposed to do that. Created faithfulness, but I didn't know anything about God. See, we can come to church on Sunday morning and still not know him. It takes more than just coming to church. We've got to know him up close and personal. He's got to become real in our lives. He can't be real in my husband's life and I can depend on him. He's got to be real in my life. I can't depend on Mitch and Mitch can't depend on me, because if we do, we're probably going to be in trouble. It's got to be up close. Okay. Keep it down over there. We might have to send him out of the room. But it's got to be up close and personal. It's got to be me and Jesus. It's got to be you and Jesus. And it's got to be about our lives changing him. We've got to know him in the joy of his resurrection. We've got to know him in salvation. We've got to know him in healing. We've got to know him in the overcoming power of our everyday lives and the things that we face. And you know what else? We got to know him in his sufferings. We've got to know him in his sufferings, and that's where we're going. Every time, and listen, every time we overcome a fleshly habit, that we overcome a fleshly attitude, every time we do this, we get a little bit closer to him. Amen. We know him just a little bit more. Every time we overcome something in our life that doesn't look like him, we get just a little bit closer and a little bit closer. See, the body of Christ is full of part-time Christians. Hey, you know, they're full of part-time Christians who come to church on Sunday morning, go out the same way they came in, and live their lives the way they want to. Now, I'm not condemning them, and I'm not saying God don't love them. But God's after a people who is after him. Amen. God wants a people who desires him more and more and more. He wants people who are on fire. He wants people who are seeking him. He wants people who are listening to him. And the only way we can learn to listen and be sure of what he's saying is that as we change those things that are on the inside of us, as God, we allow God to purge us, as we allow him to take us through the fire, we become more attuned with what he's speaking to us. He wants for us, when he says, hey, I want you to go over there and witness that person, you get up and go. Or, hey, I want you to go give $500 to this person. You go give them $500. He wants somebody who says, I need you to go to Africa for me. I'm going to go. He may even make you move to South Florida. But that's what God's after. He's after a people. And it's not everything is that, you know, with God, not everybody's got to move and not everybody's got to do that. But there are things that he has for each one of us to do. Amen. And in order for us to do those things, we have got to be in tune with him. In order to be in tune with him, we've got to allow him to purge us. Amen. We've got to allow him to change us. We got to make up our minds that we're going to not just be any old Christian, but we're going to be real. I used to always tell God that, you know, I used to tell him, and I'm may have been sorry I ever done that. I don't know. But I used to always tell him, and I still do. I said, God, I just want to be real. I just want to be real, God. I want my life to be real. I want my life to be who you are. I want to be an image of you, God. I don't want to just, you know, if I'm going to do this, I just don't want to go to church on Sunday. Hey, if that's all there is to it, I can go to the beach now that I'm in South Florida. No, there's so much more to it. And I always told him, I want to be real. And I want you, and I want more and more of you. And each one of us, that's got to be the cry of our heart tonight. We've got to desire him more and more. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart. With everything that is in you, when you seek me, you will find me. Now, there are times that we seek him. There are times that we get desperate and we do seek him with all our heart because we're in need. And we do that. But what God wants is a people, when I'm not in need, I'm seeking him with all my heart. So when I get in need, I'm already there. And the way I get there is by allowing him to purge those things inside of me that aren't in line with who Jesus is. allowing him to deal with my life and cause, and you know, it's, he's not going to just, he's not going to come down and say, okay, you got this problem, it's gone. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But he's going to cause us to look at ourselves as we desire him more and more and more. Do you know, I think a lot of it is up to us, is what do we want? What do we want from God? What is it in our lives that we want? Do we want more of him? Or do we just want to come to church on Sunday? What is it do we want? Why do we come to church on Sunday? You know, think about it. Why do we? We got to want more and more and more of him. If we will desire more and more of him. And when we do that, it's going to cause more dedication. It's going to cause more commitment. It's going to cause more determination to do the things that God's called you to do. It's going to cause you to start bearing fruit because God is going to start purging us. See, God doesn't just want our bodies in service. Now, he needs our bodies. We got to be there where he needs us. But he needs all of us. He needs all of us. He needs my heart. He don't just need my body in church on Sunday morning. He needs me here worshiping him and lifting him up. He needs me here in spirit. He needs my heart in what I'm doing. He needs me to be passionate about who he is and about what he's put in my life to do. There has to be passion. He wants this. That's all he wants us to do, y'all, is just desire more of him. More and more of him. Just desire him. The ultimate purpose of what God wants to do in our lives, and I've already said this, is to change us into the image of Christ so that we look like Christ. So that when people see us, they see him. Now, that's real simple. All of us have heard that a million times. We've heard that a million times. We should be the image of Christ. But if you guys are anything like me, it usually takes about a million times for me to hear something before I start walking in it. I have to hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then finally one day the pastor says it and I say, I know that. I know that. And I can walk in it. Well, this is what we've got to come to know. That God has created us to walk and be the image of Christ. That's the desire. That's the ultimate purpose for him dealing in our lives and causing us to be purged, to look more and more like Jesus. The word purge means, most of you probably knows, when you put heat on to clean something. Now, when I wash the dishes, well, wait a minute, I don't wash the dishes. Okay, Pastor Norris, you're going to have to make him leave. When Mitch puts the dishes in the dishwasher, okay, he doesn't use cold water to wash the dishes with. He puts it on hot. And there's a reason for that. Because there's grease and there's scum and there's food and there's stuff stuck all to the dishes. So that's the reason he uses the hot water to get the scum off. Same way reason God purges our life. Same reason he lights those fires under us. To get the scum out of our life. To get rid of the baggage. To get rid of all the junk that we've had in our life. He'll turn up the heat till it just burns and burns and burns. And either you're going to deal with it or you're going to walk away from it and walk right back into it. And it's our choice. It's our choice. God is not going to make us get rid of anything. We can carry all the baggage we want as long as we want. It's up to us to make that first step. Amen. It's up to us to do it. He'll discipline us while he's doing it. But that discipline and that purging is because he loves us. Mm-hmm. I know that all of you in here, God's dealt with you in areas in your life. And you've had these things. And then when you let God deal with you and you stepped out of it, wasn't it wonderful? Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It is so good to know you get rid of the junk. I used to have such a critical spirit. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but this is how it felt. I used to have such a critical and judgmental spirit. It was really bad. It was. And I remember one day, and God was, and I was in this place with God where I was seeking him. I knew there was plans for my life, and I knew there was purpose. I was learning about purpose in my life, in Mitch's life, and he began to deal with me about that spirit. And I said, I'm not critical, God. He said, yeah, you are. The worst, in the worst way. But to the point was, It didn't just go away. It took a long time for that to go away. But when it did, I read in the Bible, and I found out, you know what? I'm free not to be critical. See, I'm free not to do that. And then when you walk into that freedom, you think, it is unbelievable the way you feel. I'm like, oh my gosh, this person just treated me like this, and I didn't even have to be critical. Oh my gosh, that feels so good. It feels so good. Because now I'm closer and closer to Jesus. I'm becoming more and more like him. He's getting out his pruning shears and he's starting to prune away all that dead stuff that's hanging all over me. And it's only because I'm allowing him and you're allowing him to do it. He wants to take away all that excess matter that we have kind of hanging all over us. It's like when you see in Alabama, and I know you have a lot of, we have a lot down here. I say we now, not you. We have crepe myrtles. I love crepe myrtles. And Mitch, I'd always get him to trim them up so they grew up really pretty and nice and real. And my son had three in his yard that he never done anything to. And they would get huge and they just hung everywhere and they just had no shape or form. And they just weren't even pretty. Because they had all this excess matter all over them, just hanging everywhere. It was eating up all the nutrients, taking all the nutrients away from what needed to get the nutrients. And so now it wasn't growing. It was just hanging there. It was just hanging there. And it wasn't even sure what direction it was supposed to go in. That's like Christians. We got so many of us have baggage hanging everywhere. And we're going this way and we're going that way. And we're saying, God, what's my purpose? And then we're going this way. But we're not getting close to him. We're not saying, God, change me, help me change. We're saying, God, what do you want me to do? But I don't want to change. Listen, we got to change. If we want to be used, we got to be willing to let God purge us. We got to be willing to look at ourselves and say, you know what? That's not good. That's not good, man. I do it every day. Every day I get up just about, and it's like, it never ends. You know, sanctification goes on forever. It never ends. Every day we have the opportunity to look at ourselves and look at what doesn't look like him and change it. Every day we get up and we make a choice to do it. We make a choice whether we want to be critical or judgmental or whatever it is we're dealing with in our lives. See, if God doesn't prune us, all that excess stuff that's hanging all over us is going to keep us from fulfilling the destiny, the plans that he has for our lives. Now, will we go to heaven? Yes. Does he love us? Yes. Word says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yes, he loves us. But will we fulfill his plans? No. And we'll never walk in the total fulfillment of what he has. And you know, and it can be so many different things in your life, whatever God's plans are for you. Not everybody's a preacher or a teacher. He's got plans for everybody. And not everybody's plans are the same. But you know what? No matter what they are, I don't care what it is he wants me to do, I better watch it. I want to be what he wants. I want to do everything he's called me to do. Everything. No matter what it is, I want to do that. And that's, you know, it's got to be the cry of our heart tonight. To just be and do everything he wants us to be. Let him prune us. Let him change us. Let him just begin to let us take away the things in our life that don't look like him. See, when he's pruning us, when he's doing these things, that's what he's doing. He's preparing us for service. He's getting us ready to serve him. He's getting us ready to serve him so that when we serve him, we look like him. That's what he's doing. He's working, just like with the song we were singing again a while ago. He's shaping us. He's molding us. He's making us into the image of Christ as we allow him, as we allow him to do it. Again, we often hear people, and we've all done it. We say, God, change me. You know, that would be nice if he would. That if when we were born again, we just instantly, everything went away. But it doesn't happen that way. It's up to us. It's up to us to take those steps to change. God is behind us 100%, but it's up to us. So, a few years ago, I was in a secular meeting, and they made some points that kind of hit home with me that day, and I wrote them all down. You know, people in the world, they know some good stuff. And they made these three points, and they were talking about facing obstacles in your life. And they said that in that meeting, the lady who was doing the meeting, she said, you know, the first thing you got to do is you got to face the obstacle. You got to face it. You can't keep going around the same mountain the same time all the time. You can't. You got to face it. You got to overcome it. You got to deal with it. Let God purge it. Second thing is, once you make up your mind to deal with it, once you see the things inside of you that you need to deal with, you've got to make it. You know, it's not going to be easy, and you might as well be in for the long haul. So you need to develop at this time a spirit, which we'll get into more of this later on, but you need to develop a spirit of determination that I am going to make it no matter what. I don't care how many times I fall down. I don't even care if I get pushed down. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to make it. And I am going to be everything God wants me to be, and I'm going to get rid of all the junk in my life that doesn't look like Him. So I can do the work that He's called me to do. So I can make a difference in my church. So I can make a difference in my community. So I can make a difference in God's kingdom. Amen. That's what we got to do. That's got to be our desire. So that was the second thing. The third thing says is, well, I really just said it. If we persevere, we will make it. If we persevere, we will make it. You know, and that was in a secular meeting that they said that. But that is declared in the Word of God already. It's already declared. If you will face it, and if you will persevere and be determined, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Obstacle in Webster's is defined as something that's hindering advancement, something that keeps you from going forward. Now, that could be going forward in the natural, but we're looking at going forward in the spiritual. So we're looking at those things inside of us that keep us from going forward in the spiritual. Now, there's a lot of things we can face, a lot of things. How many of you know, just because you got saved, everything didn't get nice? It wasn't a bed of roses. If you guys were anything like me, I started facing more stuff after I got saved. And that's because before I was saved, I did whatever my flesh wanted to do. So there was no obstacles. You know, there was nothing. I did exactly what I wanted to do, so there was nothing to be concerned about. But we want to have everything God has. We want to be what He wants us to be, so we're going to have to face Him. We're going to have to face the trials that it takes to walk through them. You know, we're going to I'm going to give you some particular obstacles in just a few minutes, just some things that I know a lot of people deal with, especially Christians. And a lot of times it's those things we don't see. A lot of times the stuff in our life, in our character, other people see it, but we don't. We don't see it. Now, we recognize it in somebody else, and we'll say, oh, she's jealous. But you know why we recognize it in them? Because we're jealous, too. That's right. And that's where a lot of that stuff that's on the inside of us, we don't see. So I kind of call them those unseen obstacles. Those are the things that God wants to purge. Those are the things that He wants us to stop and look at ourselves and be willing to face those things and admit that we've got flaws, and admit that we're not perfect. You know, that the whole world isn't wrong and I'm right. You know, that's what God wants us to do. I used to think that. Don't say anything. So, a lot of these things that are inside of us like that, many of us, and I'm speaking from experience, guys. I am speaking from experience. We deal with those things. We walk around with them. We don't even know they're there. And they become attached to us. They are so attached to us that they are part of us. And we are not even aware that they are even there. Again, other people see it, but we can't see it. And we think we're okay. And everybody else is saying, she's not okay. You know. So these things that we have, they've interfered with our relationship with God. Even when we didn't know it. Even when we didn't know it was there, this interfered. It's interfered in our relationships with other people. It's made a difference in our lives when we don't deal with the things that are inside of us, when we don't allow God to purge us. We've got to desire this image of Christ. And I'm not here to tell you it's easy, because it's not. It's tough. It is tough. But you know what? If you'll get a desire in you that to know him more and to let God, you know what? That desire will drive you. Yeah. It will drive you to know him more and more, to be closer to him. And the closer and closer I want again, the closer I have to look at myself. I can't say that enough. Because that's what happens when we desire more and more of him. I remember many years ago, that right before I came to my home church in Montgomery, God had started dealing with our lives. And I remember going before him one night and begin to weep. And this is when change began to take place in my life. And I told him, I said, God, and at that point, I really meant it. I said, I want my heart to be pure. See, we say that a lot, but we don't always mean it. But when we really mean it, God knows when we really mean those things. He knows when it's coming from our heart. And when he hears it, it so touches him. It so touches him. It grabs his heart. Because that's what he wants, is for us to desire him. And he said, okay, you want a pure heart, then you got to start looking at you. Because I'm already pure. The stuff that's wrong is in you. And so that's what I had to do. I had to start looking at myself and start begin to purge myself. So it's just like in that secular meeting. The first thing we have to do is face it. The first thing we have to do is face it. We have to go before God, ask him to show it to us. And then when he shows it to us, don't deny it. I denied a lot of stuff for a lot of time. And pride will cause us to do that. Don't deny it. Look at it. Take it seriously, because God is showing to you. Face the issue. Face what he's trying to tell you and what he wants you to do. You know what? You will never have victory without confrontation. It's not going to happen. If you don't confront what's wrong with your life, you're never going to get victory over that thing in your life, and you're never going to be everything that God has called you to be. You cannot be victorious if we continually avoid the issues and the circumstances or the problems. You know, I like football, and it's just like when a football team goes out there to play. Now, you don't see one of them in the Super Bowl the other night. You didn't see one of the Steelers sitting on sidelines while Arizona ran up and down the field, did you? No, because they knew they weren't going to win that way. I can't sit on the sidelines and expect to win. I've got to confront the obstacle if I'm going to win. And they knew each football team, that other team was their obstacle. That was standing in their way that night. That was between them and those big old Super Bowl rings they get. You know, and that was confrontation. That was a battle for them. And you have to battle. Once you make up your mind to do it, once you make up your mind to deal with what's in your life and what needs to be changed, God is behind you 150%. He is not going to put you out there and say, I want you to deal with all this junk in your life, and then walk away and leave you. He is behind you 100%. And as long as you call upon his name, as long as you trust in him, go to his word, he is going to help you through it. Because you know what? He wants you to be successful. He wants you to look like Jesus. That's his desire. He is not going to leave you alone. See, these things in our lives, they come from many, many places. Most of them are formed in relationships. They are. All of us are products of relationships. I think I used to hear Pastor Vickers say that often, my pastor in Montgomery, that we are all products of relationships. And the thing is, no matter what the relationship was in the past, if we are products of relationship, that means we are now products of a new relationship we have with Jesus Christ. So that means that everything we are should look like him, because we are a product of our relationship as long as we are allowing him to work in our life. He wants to do good things in our lives. See, it's not just, he wants to do all this stuff. We've made this all about us. You know, we have. But he wants to change us. And I touched on it a few minutes ago. He wants to change us, not just because he wants us free. Now, he does. But you know what? He wants us to affect other people. He wants us to go out into the world and impact his kingdom. He wants us to impact this city. And he knows in order for us to do that, we need to be whole. We need to be able to be effective in people's lives. Amen. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Are you? No. I didn't say we had to be perfect. We don't. Because if we do, well, we can just hang it up. You know, but we do have to be working towards that goal of being like Jesus Christ so that we can have an impact on people's lives, so that when people see us in the workplace, no matter where we are, they say, hey, there's something different about you. I had one little story, if y'all don't mind for a minute. When I worked at my job, I worked at in Montgomery, the man I went to work for several years ago. Tough guy. Oh, he was a tough guy. He gave everybody a hard time. You know, he was all the time yelling at the project managers and all that. You know, now he was never like that to me, but I worked for him for years. After I'd been there about 3 years, I guess, working for him, he came in my office one day. I never talked to him about Jesus. I never preached to him. Never did. He knew I was a Christian, but I never had to. I didn't. I never felt led to do that. He's come down. He sat down in my office one day. And I noticed over the last few months he'd gotten a little bit quieter, and I didn't know why. And he sat down one day, and he said, he was trying to kind of say it without being, you know, losing that macho thing, you know. And he began to tell me that he had started going to church. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I got saved. And I was like, really? That's awesome. And he told me this, and this is not to bring me glory, okay? Forget. But he said, you spoke to me even when you didn't speak to me. That's because our lives and your life and my life has to affect other people. It has to make a difference. And if I didn't look at least a little bit like Jesus, somewhat, that, you know, he wouldn't have paid any attention to me. And I did not even know he was paying attention. See, that's what, so we got to reckon. I did not know he was looking at my life that way. I didn't realize that my life was impacting him. And that's what God wants us to be. That's the reason he wants to purge us, so that when we can make a difference, not only in our lives, but it's going to impact the world. It's going to impact the world. They've had enough. You know, I think most people, they're about fed up with the world. They need something that's a lot better than what this world has to offer. It's just, you know. So God's plan is for us to walk in complete freedom, for us to be free of everything we are in our lives. Now, the devil's plan is to keep you in bondage. That's exactly. He wants to keep his thumbs on you, and he don't want you to go to God and ask God, what's wrong with me? He can see what's wrong with you. The devil sees. He knows how to push your buttons. He's really good at that. He's an expert at it. And he wants to keep you that way. He don't want you going to God and asking God to help you change, to look more like him. I'm going to read in James. I got it in my notes on this one. But it's going to be in James 1. I'm going to start with verse 1, and then I'm going to skip down to 7. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable on all he does. And then down to verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres. That means if he's determined under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And then another scripture in 1 John 5:4-5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So what's the first requirement when we face the obstacles? Really simple. You got to believe. Really simple. You got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that his blood was shed for you, you know, that you are victorious because of what he did. That's the first step. You got to believe. That's all you got to do is believe. When we are born again, the word says that we are a new creature created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's what the word says about it. He said we've gotten rid of the old man, and now we've putting on. That's Southern. We put on the new. So.
I got them broken real good.
Putting. So now, and we put on the new. But what many of us have done when we get saved, we want to put on the new man, but we forget to take the old one off. We still got that old man. And you know what happens when the old man stays and try to put that new man on? Well, let me tell you what happens. I've got a son. He's a big guy. He's about 6'5", weighs about 230 pounds, 240, big guy. And he used to get out and run. Well, I guess he still does. He'll run 2 or 3, 4 miles in the mornings a lot. And he would come back in the house. Now, he sweats a lot. And you can ask Mitch, he would stink so bad. And I don't even have a good sense of smell. And I would just have to walk away from him. Because he sweats so much. I say, James, please go get in the shower. please. So and what happens when we try to put on that new clothing, so to speak? What would be like him coming in after running and smelling and sweaty and dirty, and then walking in there and putting his clothes on to go to work and not taking a shower. About an hour after he got at work, they'd be sending him home. Because he stinks. And that's what happens. We want to leave the old man on and put the new man on, and we can't do that. We can't do both. We got to do it. We got to start taking that old man off. We got to start purging ourselves of that old man as we put that new man on. We've got to do that. So, it's a process. It is a process. Change always involves removing the old as well as putting on the new. Don't forget that. It is. It's when we're born again, you know what? Our spirit man is what was changed, not our flesh. Our spirit man was changed. But you know what? My flesh was still the same. It was still my flesh. And I still had my same attitudes. I still had my same strongholds, my same obstacles when I was born again. But there was something now inside of me that caused me to want to change, to want to be different than I was. Now, as we began to let God purge us, we can't walk in doubt and unbelief. If we are facing an obstacle in our life, if we are facing things in our character that need to be changed, we can't be doubtful about it. We can't be walking in unbelief, because every time we walk in any doubt or any unbelief, all we do is open the door wide open for Satan to come in and wreak havoc. And then we're just going to fall right back where we started. We've got to know that we know. You hear that all the time, but you got to know that you know that you know. You got to know that he's going to help. You got to know that if you face this thing, you're pleasing him. See, our goal is to please my Father. I want to please my Father. I want him to be happy with me. I want him to rejoice. When he sees me, I want him to say, that's my daughter, and I'm so proud of her. That's what we want. And that's what we want our Father to do. So change involves taking off the old and putting on the new. Believe in Jesus. Don't doubt. Don't walk in unbelief. You know what? Every one of us has things in our life we have to deal with. I've still got junk I have to deal with. Oh, my gosh. I wished I didn't, but I do. We all have to deal with things. But we'll make it. And we'll look more and more like him if we will just let him purge us, and if we will trust him and not doubt him. Not doubt him. When we begin to doubt, and I've said this many times, but sometimes when we begin to doubt, and no matter what the area is, when we can begin to doubt what God can do on our life, we're saying, God, what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough. And it was enough. It was enough. It was all. It was everything. It was everything. Nobody else had to do anything. He's done his part now. It's time for us to do ours. It's time for us to grow up and be the image of Jesus Christ. Be what he wants us to be. Grow into what he wants us to grow into. It's time for all of us to be big kids, adults, to grow up. It's time to get serious, get determined, get aggressive. Get determined, get aggressive about it. Listen, I deal with things and I have to get aggressive about it. You can ask my husband. Oh, my gosh, I have to get aggressive, because there are some things that are obstacles in my life. There are things that I have to deal with. And if I don't get aggressive with it, if I don't make up my mind that I'm going to please him, it'll overtake me. So we got to get aggressive and get determined to be more and more like Jesus, to look more and more like Jesus. We got to let our faith begin to set in. See, faith isn't passive. Faith takes action. Faith steps out and does something. And we've got to begin to do that. We've got to begin to do that. Well, I'm almost out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and cover a little bit more and we'll stop. I'm just going to cover real quickly. I wrote down about 18 or 20 obstacles that people face in their lives. And this is not all of them. This is just a list I came up with, probably because I faced all of them. And you know, you can look at your own self and see where you've come from. But I just made a list of some, and then I know that you can probably add some more to it. But think about these things. And I put down anger, envy, jealousy, fear. Fear comes in all kinds of forms. Hatred, pride, failure, fear of failure, greed, fear of rejection, unforgiveness, control issues, critical and judgmental spirits, laziness, bitterness, low self-esteem, frustrations, anxieties, depressions. That's just a few things. Just a few of them. I bet if I call Artith, she'd probably give me a list about this long. But that's just a few of things. I think some of the things that, a lot of these, I think are probably the main things that people deal with as Christians. And these are things, and you know, you hate to say it, but this is sin. It is. And these are things in our life that we have got to step out of. We've got to step out of them and become more like Jesus. We've got to do that. You know, they're there and they're keeping us from fulfilling the destiny God's prepared for us. They're keeping us. You know, do you want what God has? And it goes back to that same old question. Do you want what God has for you? How bad do you want it? How important is it to you? That it boils all down to that. And if you want it, then you got to make up our mind that we're going to overcome these things in our life. And a lot of these we don't see, but I guarantee you, you're just like me. If you go before God and you begin to ask God to show you these things, He's going to show you things that you did not even know were there. And then you're going to say, God, I need to know where this come from, and I need to uproot it, and I need to cast it out. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to burn. And it's just like the fire. It's going to burn, and it's going to hurt bad, and it's going to hurt your pride because you didn't know what you look like. Every time I have to look at myself, I say, oh, God, do I really look like that? God, can't you just let me look a little nicer than that or a little better than that? You know, but it hurts when you have to look at the things that are inside of you. Because what you're doing is you're comparing yourself to Him. And when you begin to look at yourself beside Jesus Christ, oh my gosh, those things that are inside of me it looks awful. It hurts. It's just terrible things. So as you seek God, ask Him to show you. Ask Him, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to deal with the things in your life. Sometimes you have to face things and it is hard, but don't be afraid. See, these are areas that right now you may not even realize you're in bondage, but when you step out of it, you're going to say, I was there and now I'm here, and you're not even, and you're going to, it's going to be so good. It feels so good. Yeah. I can't tell you how good it feels to step out of things that are in your life that are coming between you and God. Yeah. So I'm going to close here, and I didn't get through even what I was going to tonight, but we'll finish up next week. So tonight, bottom line right now, I'm going to end of this: desire more of God. Somehow in our lives, we've got to desire more and more of Him. And again, that desire for Him is what will drive you. It is what will cause you and the Holy Spirit to help you look at yourself and see those things that are wrong with you. So allow God to begin showing you those things in your life. Okay. I'm going to stop right there tonight. And you want me to go ahead and take up the offer, and you want to do that? Okay. Thank you very much. Turn me off.